talking about individuals preaching. We're talking about just that book right there, right? Come on up here, son. And after service this morning, there'll be a bucket back there, and Brother Mike will go back there after Pastor Shirley finishes and bless. This is the Word of God going out, church. 100% of it, I may take it, but every penny that you give, it goes to the Word of God. Everybody that works for the Gideons is a volunteer. So. No, you got to have the mic. You got to have the mic.
Can you hear me without?
No. No, you got to have the mic, my brother.
I have microphobia. My name is Mike Richardson, and I am from Campbellsville, and I'm a layperson. I'm not a pastor. And on behalf of Gideon's International, I'd like to say thank you very much, especially for your pastor allowing us to have pulpit time. And for this church allowing us to come in and share a little bit about what Gideon's International is doing for your church. Because without churches just like yours, this ministry cannot exist. Because, see, we're an extended arm of you. We're out in the field doing what you're providing us to be able to do. Is it important to spread God's word?
Yes.
Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Can everybody hear that? Can you hear that noise? I hear unzipping. I hear pages rustling and rattling. Is that not an awesome sound? Because you see, in some places of the world, that sound does not exist with this book. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." What God's telling us in this verse is that if you'll put it out there, if you will give, if you'll allow us to put this word out there, He's going to bless that. It's not going to return it to Him void. And I got a few testimonies today to tell you that I can prove that scripture with. You see, as Gideon's International, there's a few things I want to get business out of the way with you before we start telling a little testimony. You see, Gideons are able to give Bibles just like these in over 188 different countries around the world. In over 88 different languages, these Bibles are produced. And she was exactly right, because 100% of what you give today will go to the purchase of these Bibles. See, for about $5, that's the cost of one of these Bibles. How many places have you ever seen this? She said a hotel. Where else have you seen them? Nursing home, hotels, motels, convalescent homes, doctor's offices, right, dentist offices. And see, they're placed there because people just like you and churches just like yours give generously that they can be placed. Do you know there's a, for $50, and I know a lot of you here may be business men and women or professionals, farmers or homemakers, and you know the value of a dollar. We were talking about that earlier, the value of a dollar. For $50, 10 of these Bibles can be placed somewhere around the world. For $50, 10 Bibles. Over a period of this Bible's life expectancy, it can reach up to 36,000 people. One Bible has the opportunity to reach up to 36,000 people. Or actually 10 of those Bibles. I give you that wrong number. That's a pretty good investment, isn't it, to be able to reach it. And then the good part about that is, and you'll hear in one of my testimonies I have in a minute to tell you, the good part about that is when that Bible gets so worn out that they go and replace it from a hotel or motel, we send them to the prisons. We send them to the induction centers and places and jails and other ministries like that so they can continue to be used. How many of you have ever seen a little testament like this? How many of you have one? Where did you get it? school, about the fifth grade. Is that about right, about the fifth grade? This one's a blessing because this is one of my daughters, and her name's in the front of the book. And this is one that she received in high school. I mean, not high school, but in fifth grade. And one of my other daughters, I had the opportunity to take testaments like these and give out in our local school system in Tedder County. And the blessing was not just me giving my own daughter her first testament or her first Bible, but the fact that the little circle table that she was sitting at, she came home and she told me this testimony. One of the young boys at that table said when he received his copy of God's Word that that was the only Bible in their home. Now this is not a faraway place or a faraway land. That was in Tedder County. And will you believe it or not, we're close neighbors. We're all very close neighbors. That's right here in the Bible Belt that there was a family that did not have a copy of God's Word in their home. But through church's giving, just like yours, a testament was placed in that child's hand, and that home finally has a Bible. This morning, I noticed, do we have any children left in this area, in here? Are there maybe three of you left? Can I borrow you real quick? Would you like to come up front for just a second? Three of you? Oh, come on. Any more? Can you come up? Yeah, you can come up. Yeah. You're a child of God, aren't you? There you go. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, to give you an idea that it takes each day 140,000 copies of God's Word are needed around the world. Put that in your mind, 140,000 copies of God's Word every day are needed to go out. Now I have four children. I have four daughters. There's one thing I know they like to do. Stick your hand out like you want something. Go ahead. Yeah, you're good at it, aren't you? You're good at it. I know. I have four children. You're good at it. Okay. Now, church, think about this. You know these beautiful young faces. You know them because they're yours. They're right here. In today's world, I've got comparison about two copies of God's Word right here in my hand. Now, I was going to give them to these children. But we've got a problem. We got a problem. Oh, my gosh. Microphobia. I have a problem because I've only got two copies. Okay, so you guys can make the decision. Which one of these children doesn't get a copy of God's Word? Go ahead. You call it. Which child do you not want to have a copy of God's Word? Put that in that perspective. It's pretty awesome. Thank you guys very much. Y'all can sit down. It wasn't that bad, was it? But when you put it in that perspective, is it important for us to spread God's Word? There is a need. A little bit of information about Gideon's International. We are a non-denominational group of professional business men and women that serve on our own time. And yes, ma'am, you're right. You're absolutely right that our time that we give is donated time. God blesses us, and it's a blessing for us to be able to come to churches just like yours, to be able to share God's Word, and to be able to share this report to you. That's why 100% of what you give today will go to the purchase of Bibles just like these. If you'll take your mind's eye away to a place called the Funes, Argentina, I remind you of a story of an elderly man that was walking in on the outskirts of town. And he stopped and he asked, he said, "Has anyone seen the little blue book? The one that has Jesus in it?" They didn't know what he was talking about. He continues on closer into town. "Has anyone seen the little blue book? You know, the one that has Jesus in it." Well, just so happened he could finally see in the distance on the square in that town, a group of Gideons were there that day on a scripture blitz. That's where we go out and we hand out massive amounts of Bibles and have an opportunity to witness to people. And what in this witnessing that we're trying to do is to bring men and women, boys and girls, to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The exact same thing that you're here this morning for. So we're your hands and feet. We're out here. We're doing this. The elder man finally comes up to a Gideon, and the Gideon hands him a testament. And the elder man says, the little blue book, the one that has Jesus in it. Well, that was at the close of the day. So that elderly man took, and the Gideon went to the side, and the Gideon was sharing this book to him. And as he took him through the book, through Romans and through certain scriptures, he comes to the end and has a place for him to sign his name and a place for him to ask Jesus into his heart. And the elderly man did. And he signed his name in the book. It's at the close of the day, the Gideon asked him, he said, sir, he said, would you like to go eat supper with us? We're finished for the day. Tomorrow's another day, and we're tired. We're going to retire. And the elderly man said, I can't. You see, he said, I have to leave right now because I have to be home in 7 days. You see, that elderly man walked 7 days in one direction to receive one copy of God's Word to take back to his little village. So is it important for us to spread God's Word? I had a story, recent story, that we were told from our national convention that the Gideons have. And it really touched my heart. And this one can probably apply to a lot of us and some people in our families. It was about a young lady by the name of Jane Christensen. And Jane came to this rally that the Gideons have every year, the national convention, and she tells her story. She said as she walked down the railroad tracks in her hometown in the snow, her body was trembling. But it wasn't from cold. It was from the demand of a drug called heroin. You see, she started out experimenting with drugs at a young age. But drugs and finally reached heroin and it had overtaken her life. And she found herself in this condition. Her next thing was she was incarcerated again in her local jail. This wasn't her first time. See, as she sat there in the jail cell and she looked back in her memory, she thought about the psychologist that had interviewed her when she was in jail and said, you're hopeless. You are hopeless, that word that you talked about. You're hopeless. You're no good. The doctor that was trying to help heal her body and was tired of her keep coming back in a condition that was so bad, he said, you're hopeless. You're hopeless. Her family had said that she was hopeless. They had pretty much abandoned her. One evening, as she was in that jail cell, she happened to go to a different area that they were allowing them to move around in. And she found a gold Bible that looked just like this. Jane took that Bible, she went to a restroom in that area where she could be by herself. As she backed up against the wall and she slid down the wall on the bathroom floor in that facility, she opened up God's Word. This was the first verse that she came to. It was Isaiah chapter 1. And it said, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, she read those words and she couldn't help but believe in her own heart now. As she went back to her jail cell, she fell on her knees and she cried out to God. Within a matter of days, God intervened in Jane's pitiful circumstances. She was placed in the custody of a faith-based drug rehab program in that area called Teen Challenge. Well, shortly after she was there, someone had took her under their wing. And she came to know the Lord. She found out how to accept Jesus into her heart. She still had a craving for drugs. It had completely taken over Jane's life before. But now she realized that this was a change that she could make. And she made that change. But there's a problem that we have that happens to us in life. Sometimes our past haunts us. Sometimes our past comes back to get us. And the stuff, even though she was a new one in life and accepted Jesus into her heart, she still had to pay for what she had done before. So as her court appearance date, and she was right at the age, that teenage age from, I'm not a teenager and I'm almost an adult. That's what she was into. That was her time. They were trying to make the decisions. Was she going to be able to stay there as a teen, or was she going to prison? Her attorney pulled her together, and as they were sitting there, she stood up, and for herself, she told the judge, she said, "Your Honor, the Bible says that therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." As she quoted that scripture to the judge, he looked over, the judge looked at the prosecutor, and the prosecuting attorney was standing there with tears rolling down his eyes. After a few minutes of silence, the judge said, with tears in his eyes, he said, "You know, I've gone through your records. From the time that you were a juvenile and you started this road, the destructive road that you were on." He said, "You were pretty hopeless." Use that word again. But he said, "The reports I keep receiving back from the Teen Challenge are that maybe you're not." And he said, "The only thing that I can lay it on to is this person you keep talking about, Jesus." So he pronounced the sentence and released her. She was free to go. Today she still works, excuse me, for Teen Challenge. But what really touched me about this story, she came back and she said, this is what she said to the Gideons at the National Convention. She said, "My friends, I am so grateful to you." And you got to understand, she's not saying that to Gideons. She's saying that to us because we're an extended arm of you. She's so grateful that words could never express. She could never adequately express how grateful she was that Bible was where it was at. It wouldn't have got there if it wasn't for churches just like yours. So this morning, I have one more little bit of information I want to share with you. And I noticed you have on your back table back here, you have a little Gideon rack. And here are some more cards that I'm going to put in there and add to that. And I want you to understand that these cards are yours. Yours to give freely of. I mean, that's why Gideon's placed them back there. This is an in-memory card, maybe when someone passes away. But that's not the only time to use these cards. We have also cards that have thinking of you. Is my time up? I'm making it quick, I promise. I'm making it quick. But these cards are for you to use. And inside these cards, it tells you, you know, when you put the number of cards you want, it has an envelope inside that has your local Gideon camp in Columbia, and that's where your check will go to, okay? If you're prepared this morning to make an offering to Gideon's International, please make those checks payable to Gideon's International. And it is a tax donation, or a tax-free donation for you to be able to do that. I'll be leaving these here for you. Okay, if you would like to contact the Gideons this morning, I'd like for you to, you can contact the Gideon Camp. Let me give you an address that you can reach them at. And this is Gideon's International, Adair County Camp, Post Office Box 61, Columbia, Kentucky, 42728. And on behalf of Gideon's International, I'd really like to thank your church for allowing us to have some time to come to your worship time and just explain to you a little bit about what Gideon's is doing as an extended arm and ministry for you. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. Now we're going to get you guys woke up a little bit, okay? Thank you, brother. The word says, promises in Isaiah that when his word goes out, whether it's on a nightstand or prison or whatever, that's not going to return back for him void. When somebody opens that word up, it's going to have an impact in their life. And it's sent forth to do something and comes back not void. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning. How many needs a word from God today? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, the promise of your word, Lord. Thank you for the anointing that is upon your word to break every yoke in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we have ears to hear, a heart to receive your engrafted word today that will bring change to your life. For everyone out there that's listening today, Lord, we speak a blessing over them that they hear and receive that word today, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God tells us in Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, let the children come to me. Don't try to stop them. People who are like these little children belong to the kingdom of God. I promise you that you cannot get into God's kingdom unless you accept it the way a child does. I love children because they are open. They are brutally honest. Amen. They just say what needs to be said. It's always with sincerity and what they think is the truth. Here's a few statements to kind of get us on a lighter note this morning, some things that kids say. A Sunday school teacher asked her children as they were on their way to church service, now why is it necessary to be quiet in church services? One bright little girl replied, because people are sleeping. 3-year-old Reese prayed, our Father who does art in heaven, Harold is his name. Amen. After the christening of his baby brother in church, Jason sobbed all the way home in the back seat of the car. His father asked him 3 times what was wrong. Finally, the boy replied, that preacher said he wanted us brought up in a Christian home and all I wanted to do was stay with you guys. I'll read a couple more. Is that okay? Okay. One particular 4-year-old boy prayed, and forgive us, Lord, of our trash baskets, as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. You know, that has somewhat of a truth to it. A father was at the beach with his children when the 4-year-old son ran up to him, grabbed his hand, and led him to the shore, where a seagull lied dead in the sand. Daddy, what happened to him? The son asked. Well, he died and went to heaven, son, the dad replied. The boy thought a moment and then said, what happened? Did God throw him back down? So children are open and honest. Amen. And somehow along the line, we have lost that childlike qualities in our lives simply by living life. Amen. You know, when you're 18 to 21, you think you know it all. The time you get 30, you begin to think you don't know nothing. The time you get 50, you find out you've really been dumb. You know, you're thinking, boy, if I had that to do over again, I sure would have done it different. Amen. So somewhere along living life, we have become insensitive. We have lost our childlike faith. And that's what I want to talk about today, is having childlike faith and getting back to that simple basic thing of Jesus just wants us to believe him and that we all need him, amen, in our lives. Getting back to childlike faith and trust. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And getting back to children and just spending a few times in children's church and listening to their prayer requests. You can also see how open and honest they are. As they, you know, they pray everything from a hangnail to a sick dog to troubles at home to troubles at school to their friends. And they are sincere. They're open and they're honest that when they say something in prayer, they just believe God's going to do it. There's never a question there. But I said as we get older and we start growing in things, you think we would get smarter and learn more and more about God. But somehow life makes us dull. Amen. And we become insensitive to the love of God and what He wants to do for us. And the Scriptures refer to God's people as His children on a regular basis. We're not only the saints of God, amen, and the king and priest of God in a kingdom, we're also the children of God. And we have to look at God as our Abba Father, as our Daddy God, that He does have our best interest in mind, in spite of what we think and what we feel and what we've been told sometimes, that God does have your best interest at heart. Amen. And He does only want the best for you. So the Old Testament calls the people children of Israel. The New Testament refers to believers as adopted children or little children and children of light. And when you look at the gospel, the very mandate of it that Jesus requires us and wants us to have childlike faith, the bottom line of salvation is simply, I need Jesus. Amen. I need Jesus. Amen. I need His salvation on a daily basis. Amen. So we stand before Him someday. We want to hear Him say, good and done. Amen. Thou faithful servant. Well done. No, you know, we don't want Him to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And you know, when you look at that word new, it just means to know somebody. You know, so how do you know somebody? By having a relationship. So you want to hear Him say, you know, I had a relationship. I know who you are. I know what you've done in the earth. You represented my kingdom in the earth. So that's what we want to hear Him say someday. That's because of a relationship with Him. And you know, church, that's all God wants is a relationship with us. And once we begin to understand relationship, amen, based on childlike faith with God, simply believing and trusting that God is who He says He is, and His Word is what it says it is. Amen. So knowing and trusting Jesus like a little child, trust that person to take care of them. Another translation of Mark 10 reads, Jesus tells us, truly I say to you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Now we're not talking about getting to heaven someday. We're not talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about bringing and representing the kingdom of God in this earth now. Because, church, when we get to heaven, we're not going to need anything. But I don't know about you. I need some healing. I need some deliverance. I need some blessings. I need some stuff going on right now. Amen. I don't want to wait until I have to get to heaven. Amen. Because I can get to heaven poor. I need to get to heaven sick. Just a quicker way to get there. Amen. But I need some stuff happening now. And we're going to receive and obtain those things by childlike faith. So when we're referring to the kingdom of God, we're not talking about going to heaven someday, inheriting all the blessings then. But we need some things happening in our lives now, that we are representatives of God's kingdom in this earth now, you know. And God is wanting to establish His kingdom in this earth now. He's wanting the world to see that we are different. Amen. That we do have hope to offer. Amen. That we have peace to offer, that we have answers to some things. Amen. So, you know, all of us were a mess at one time. But aren't you thankful that God always takes a mess and makes a message out of it? That we are an ongoing message of God's grace and of God's love and His forgiveness. So Jesus, that day that we were reading that, and He said, don't forbid the little children to come into Me. And He was angry about it. He said, don't forbid them to come into Me. Because these are My kingdom, and I want to bless them. And so Jesus did not want that day just to be a day where He was just wanting to love on the children and tell them how cute they were and everything. But everything Jesus did, He did with purpose in mind. He wanted to do it with a lesson in mind, to teach the people some things. You know, and children are easy to dote over because we dress them up and love on them and all that stuff. That's good. But He was wanting to teach the people that day a lesson. Hey, you know, He said, if you want to receive what's in My kingdom, if you want to receive what I have in My kingdom now, the blessings of My kingdom now, then you're going to have to do it the way these little children have come into Me. They've come to Me and they didn't have nothing to offer Me, but I had everything to offer them to them. They didn't have nothing to boast for, nothing to brag for, but they just came to Me like they were. And that's how God wants all of us to come to Him. Not through works, but just simply come to Him as a little child. I've got nothing to offer you but Me. Amen. So there are two qualities that operate in our lives. in order to continually receive the things of the kingdom of God while we're here on this earth. And that is trust and faith. Childlike qualities of trust and faith. Trust in the Bible literally means a bold, confident, sure security or action based on that security. Trust is not exactly the same thing as faith, but they operate together. Because the Bible says in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's a gift, and this is not your own doing, but it's the gift of God." So faith and trust. Faith and trust, those childlike simplicity of trust and faith. Trusting is what we do because of the faith that we have been given. Trusting and believing in the promises of God in all circumstances, even those where the evidence seems to be contrary. Trusting that God's word is what it says it is. And that settles it. There's no other room for explanation. If God's word says it, then that settles it. So have you ever noticed how trusting children are? You know, if you told them to jump off of a building, they would probably jump because they trust you. They simply trust you. So let them get a boo-boo or get scared. Where do they go? They run to mama. Amen. And they don't care to let you know. If it's just a little bitty tiny scratch, you've got to bring out the whole box of Band-Aids and use half of them. Because they're going to come screaming and bawling and crying. Why? So why as God's children that we're the opposite way? When we get a boo-boo or we get a hurt, we hide and then we put on the mask. Why? Because we've lost that childlike trust in God, that He is able to take care of it. So like that little child that's trusting, when we get a boo-boo or we get hurt, the first thing we should do is to run to God, you know. So I told you the story about the dog. My son thought Kenny and I should have a dog. They gave us a house dog. Kenny was allergic to it, so we had to get rid of it. He still wanted a dog. So we got a little puppy, an outside dog. And I ran over it. I knew, we don't have it in a few days. I was backing out and I heard the crunch. My heart fell. Stan, I was in a hurry, so it was, to take Stan to school, and I just stopped. Stan looked over me and he said, "Kenny's going to kill you." Now, at that moment, I could have accepted what Stan had said and thought, "I'm a dead duck." But how many times do we listen to the enemy? But because of my relationship with him, through experience and trust, I knew that he wasn't going to kill me. So I called him and I said, "Honey, you ain't going to believe what I done." He thought somebody had died or I did something awful. But it all worked out. And that's the way we should be with God. Because religion will say, "Don't tell God." Great revelation. God already knows it. Amen. He already knows it. Glory to God. So the dog story is something, but we got over it. So we can't listen to the voice of the enemy that says, "God's out to get you. God's causing you sick to be sick to learn your lesson. You know, this person died just so somebody could get saved." You don't want me to go there. So that I knew that I could trust him and everything was going to be all right. The Bible says in Psalms 22, "They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not disappointed." Amen. God is always an on-time God. He may not give us everything we want, but he always gives us everything we need. Amen. And he's always on time. Amen. So have you ever noticed how the level of faith that children operate in? They operate in a faith that is astounding sometimes. Because when you say something to it, you better carry it out. Amen. So, you know, you could say, "We're going for ice cream at 5 o'clock. So what do? They watch that clock. At 5 o'clock, you'd better have your shoes on and go get ice cream. Why? Because they've had faith in what you have said. They have trusted in what you have said, that at 5 o'clock they're going to get ice cream. But see, what happens is as children get older, we put attachments onto what we say we're going to do. At 5 o'clock, we're going to go get ice cream, but your room better be clean. Yeah. At 5 o'clock, we're going to get ice cream, but you want to make sure the garbage is taken out. So what happens is we carry this stuff over into our relationship with God. if God said this, then you'd better do that. Or you'd better do that, then God will do this. And God doesn't operate that way. Amen? But you don't have to work for what God has already said is yours. Amen? You've got to have childlike faith and trust that if God has said it, He's already reconciled us unto Himself, and it's already a done deal. We have to get back to believing that what God has said is simply the truth. It's simply the truth. Get back. So, you know, we carry that stuff over into our lives. Like I said, it's living life makes us dull sometimes, you know. But we got to believe that God's word is the truth. And it goes beyond our natural thinking into a supernatural realm that God wants us all to live and to operate in on a daily basis. Amen. Bring the kingdom of God to this earth now. The people do have hope, that we can have hope, that we can trust and have faith in God. The kingdom of God belongs to children and their like, not because of any merits or rights of their own, but because they simply receive it in an unselfconscious way without trying to earn it. You don't have to work for what God has already said is yours. We do this by faith, which works by love. I have found out that my faith operates on a greater level more and more as I understand the love of God more and more. In order for something to work, we have to, in order, if God says that faith works by love, then if my faith is not operating on a level that I know that God says is mine, then I need to check my love walk. Because it says faith operates by love. But we just take faith and say, I can have whatever God says I can have. And you can. Okay? I'm not saying you can, because I just said you could. But we need to check our love walk. Why are we wanting what we want? You know, search our hearts. We do this by faith, which works by love. Because Galatians 5:6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which works by love. So it says circumcision is serving under the letter of the law. He's saying that neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. It's not that what we do or do not serve under the law avails anything. It is faith which worketh by love that avails much. That is what has value, sustaining value. Faith which worketh by love is forceful, compelling, persuasive, powerful, convincing, and satisfactory. So if my faith works by love, I need to be continually refueled with the love of God. You know, the more that I know somebody loves me, the more that I want to do right. The more that I want to find out about this person that loves me unconditionally, even when I am making a mess of everything. Even when I feel like I'm falling short, He still loves me. Amen. That is hard for us humans to accept sometimes, because we think we have to be at a place to where we want to measure up, and then that person will love us. But God's not like that. He wants us to accept the things in the kingdom with childlike trust and faith, which worketh by love. So why do children have trust and faith? Because of love they sense from their parent or from that caregiver, and the love that they have for you, because they know they can run to mama. Amen. At the day's end, they know they can run home to mama and everything's going to be all right. And that's how we need to operate our relationship with God. When everything's going crazy, we know we just have to run to God. You know, if I could just run to God, everything's going to be okay, no matter if everything else is crazy. So I have to begin to go back to the basics, church, and say, you know what? Just simply taking God at His word and saying, God, this is what Your word says. I don't know how You're going to work it out, when it's going to be manifested, but this is Your word, this is what I'm standing on, and this is what I'm believing. And don't try to earn or to work for what you have already been reconciled to, because He said He's reconciled the world to Himself. And because of that, you've already got everything in you that pertains to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. And we are His kingdom in this earth now. Amen. Operating in the blessings of God with trust and simply faith, which works by love. Amen.
I believe the Lord put this service together this morning from the time we started to right now. Thank you, Pastor Shirley. Let's stand up and, you know, remember, hey, you know, there may be somebody here this morning, all right? I just feel led to say this morning. If there's somebody in the house, you know, I don't know, the Lord knows, but maybe you've never made a confession of Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are hopeless, like some of those people that Brother Mike over here talked about. We will pray with you, and you can have the hope of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father God. Let's just bow our heads, and we're going to pray. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you came, that you were willing to give up heaven to come and to die for us, to take upon us all the sin and to bring us back into fellowship with our Father. And that because of what you've done, we can boldly say that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That when he looks at me, Jesus, he doesn't see what I used to be. God doesn't remember what I was like yesterday. But all he sees is who I am now. And I thank you, Father God, for that. Lord, bring us back to the simple trust, to the simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have to have a new revelation every day. We don't have to have a new word. We just need the word of God. Thank you, Father God, for the messengers that have come today, for the hope that we have. I pray for everybody that's listening that faith will have been stirred up inside of you because of the message today, that you will receive it. And if you need Jesus Christ, that you will just confess that he is Lord, that you believe that God raised him from the dead, and you want to just confess him as your Lord and Savior. And it's very, very simple. It's not complicated. And I just pray now in the name of Jesus that if anybody in the sound of my voice, if that's what you will do. And I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for these people. And I thank you, for God, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you. Remember, the Brother Mike's going to be back there.